And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
That we can, and so help us God, we will make America great again.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the No Gimmicks Podcast. I'm your humble host, as always, Brady Leonard. Hopefully you guys had a terrific weekend. I apologize for no podcast last week. I was sick and I completely lost my voice. So I physically could not do the show. Trust me, you did not want to hear that. But I'm back. I'm feeling great. I missed you guys. Great show today. I'm joined by my brother, Nick Lindquist. Always a great time talking to Nick. And we had a lot to discuss. We talked about the press all up in a tizzy because Donald Trump said bloodbath. We talked about the same journalists defending cannibalism. Great stuff there for the press. And we talked about everybody dunking on Ben Shapiro for saying something objectively correct about entitlements. So a lot to get to. I think you guys will enjoy it. Before I get to Nick, guys, if you haven't already, please follow us on Twitter at NoGimmicksPod. Please subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to subscribe. If you do use iTunes, please leave us a 5-star rating and a good review. We'd really appreciate that. And if you like the show and want to get involved, you can support us monthly over on Patreon, patreon.com/TheNoGimmicksPodcast. All right, without further ado, the great Nick Lindquist. All right, guys, we're here with my brother, Nick Lindquist. Nick, how you been, man?
Pretty good. Enjoying Kentucky life here now. How about you?
Buddy. Yeah, buddy, man. You went from New York to Texas to Kentucky.
Yes, sir. Quite a few jumps.
You're like the one guy who's followed that path, yeah. I think. Really blazing your old trail,
probably.
Brother.
Yes, sir.
So, dude, we got to talk about this this bloodbath that we're in right now.
Yeah.
Nick, it's going to be a bloodbath. A bloodbath. That's what the mean orange fat man said. Dude, the press is so boring, man. Like, I get that we didn't get to have a primary, really. You know, it was over real quick, and they just love primaries, and they're just bored. Like, I do understand that, but it's like, these people have got to get some new material, man. I mean, it's just like, the blatant lies about what Trump is saying on camera for the world to hear. It's like, bro, this isn't 2015. Like, that's just not going to work the way it used to.
Oh, for sure. They're talking about this, like, being, you know, oh, he's talking about two January 6s now. Even though, it's amazing to me that it seems like Joe Scarborough in particular, because he deleted the tweet about this after he tweeted it. I think he saw the video with the full context and was like, oh, shit. delete. But it's, like, amazing that he didn't watch that to begin with to make sure he knew what he was talking about. Because if you watch the full video, he's talking about American auto manufacturing and how if he's not reelected, if Trump's not reelected, it's going to be a bloodbath for American workers in that more jobs are going to move to Mexico. And this time, they're not American companies, they're like Chinese companies in Mexico. It's like a whole dumpster fire. And that's what Trump was talking about. But of course, you know, the mainstream media outlets like NBC, CNN, they're all like, oh, he's talking about a bloodbath. It's going to be January 6th all over again, blah, blah, blah. As if January 6th itself was even a bloodbath. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, like, obviously, I'm not advocating for like literal bloodbaths, like killing people, but,
right.
Like, I wish Trump was way more like what the press says he is.
Yeah.
I mean, like, here's the thing. Donald Trump was president of the United States. He was commander-in-chief of the most powerful military the world has ever seen for 4 years and didn't do anything to anyone. Okay? Like, the thing is, the whole screaming and yelling about how Trump is going to punish his political opponents, the dirty little secret, and, like, this is the thing. Like, I wish Trump would punish his political opponents because the dirty little secret is that he loves his political opponents. He loves them.
Yeah.
Like, the people who are trying to put him in jail forever right now, he loves them. And that's his flaw. Like, Trump's fatal flaw is that he's a big, overgrown 14-year-old girl. Like, he loves these people. Like, he loves the press. He wants to be accepted. He has Maggie Haberman's number on speed dial. He has Bob Woodward on speed dial. Like, he wants Chuck Schumer to love him for some reason. Like, he wants the Washington Post to love him. Like, I wish Trump would start arresting the libs. You know what I mean? But yeah. he doesn't have it in him. Like that's the thing. Like, we are on season 8 of Donald Trump. Like, we understand who he is. The press understands who he is. Like, I wish he was a little bit more vicious. Like, I wish he would actually hit these people where it counts. Like, I wish he would do all the things that the press accuses him of. But he doesn't. Like, this is one of the main things I don't like about Trump is that he's a little pussycat. You know what I mean? Like, he just wants these people to love him. Like, he's never going to hurt these people. He's one of those people. You know what I mean? Like, until 2015, right. Like, he was them, and he still kind of is. So it's like, man, it's just so fun. I mean, like, show me a journalist that was arrested between 2017 and 2021. I wish. I truly wish. I wish he hollowed out the staff of the New York Times, and they were all sitting in Guantanamo Bay right now because that's what they deserve. But he didn't.
Oh,
it's like, yeah. My goodness, people.
Well, he is fundamentally, like, he's addicted to them covering him. He doesn't care how someone's talking about him as long as he shows up in the news somehow. And then, you know, he can get his base riled up when he's like, oh, these people are demons and blah, blah, blah. But fundamentally, he loves showing up in the news, even if people are calling him, like, a dictator or something. Because okay. It's just, you know, the press is how he stays politically viable. And honestly, without all of these trials and these accusations against him and the bad media press, he would be nothing at this point. Like, we would have all woken up and smelled the coffee had none of this happened, and he knows that. I mean, you saw in the polls, every time he got a new indictment, he shot up in the polls because they're good for him politically.
Yeah.
Until we reach the general election, and then he's going to be screwed. But I don't know. Biden might be bad enough where it works out for Trump.
I mean, it's definitely looking that way now. I mean, I keep reminding Republicans, like, it's only March. You know what I mean? Like, anything can happen. You know, it's just tough.
Yep.
You know, keep in mind, Trump, you know, his political machine has no money whatsoever. They're spending it all on legal bills. You know, and Biden's going to have a couple billion at least to spend on ads.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, Joe Biden called half of the country enemies of the state in front of a blood red background flanked by armed Marines. Okay. Like, straight out of Mussolini's Italy. You know, the Biden regime arrested first. They started with arresting anybody who strolled through the Capitol on January 6th. They arrested Catholics for praying outside of abortion clinics. They arrested a dude for making a meme about the last election. Yeah. It's like, you can't put that back in the bottle, bro. Like, voters understand, at least it seems like right now, independent voters understand who the real fascists are. And that's why Biden has a 38% approval rating. Well, I mean, you know, fascism mixed with, like, Alzheimer's, which is a potent combination if your goal is to have the world's worst approval rating, let me tell you. But it's like, you just can't. I mean, the fascism we've seen, like, from the COVID stuff all through Biden's, I mean, you know, he had OSHA demand that 80 million Americans get an experimental vaccine for no reason or lose their jobs. You know what I mean? Like, he fired tens of thousands of active duty military because they didn't want to get the jab. Like, that's fascism. Like, people have been watching fascism on their televisions for the last 3 years. I don't know, man. Like, the press, I get that Trump isn't very bright, and the press can bait him into saying and doing stupid stuff. But they're just rolling back the exact same tactics. They haven't learned anything. And I don't know, man. I just don't think it's going to work. I mean, right now, if the election were held today, Trump wins in a landslide, I think.
Yes. But as we know, and this is why I'm even cautioned to say, like, or even entertain the idea that Trump has this in the bag, because he doesn't. It's way too early for us to look at polls and say Trump is going to win. And I mean, even within the last couple of weeks, polls have swung a little bit and not necessarily in Trump's favor. So we're way too early in, and I think Republicans need to not fall asleep at the wheel again like they've done the last two election cycles.
100%.
And especially, like you were saying, I want to go back to that thing about, like, Biden, you know, viciously pursuing certain members of America. It feels like the 1950s and 60s, like, CIA and FBI apparatuses where they were going after communists and really like surveilling certain groups of people that might be connected to Cuba or the Soviet Union. But now it's like they're doing it to Catholic moms. Like, it's insanity and it's disgusting. And I hope that Trump kind of takes the initiative and starts talking about this more. But frankly, I don't even know if he sees that sort of thing. Like, he sees it against MAGA, but not like, not every American is MAGA, and Biden's doing this even to like people we would consider liberal. It's just a matter of like what your religious affiliation is, or, you know, even just people who aren't religious and are, you know, making transactions over $600 and having the IRS up their butt. Like, I hope Trump channels that and says like, this is a very dark Orwellian thing that's happening to all of our federal agencies, and someone needs to go in there and fire all these people.
He will not do that.
No.
Not, I mean, he will not do that. You know what I mean?
DeSantis would have, but
sure,
not Trump.
Sure. Yeah, well, Trump just doesn't, he's not, because he doesn't really care, you know, about like actually doing anything or changing anything. It's just all rhetoric.
Yep.
It's all rhetorical. You know? Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
Like, the FBI has been trying to imprison him and his family since 2015.
Yeah.
and I guarantee you he will not. I guarantee you if Trump is elected president, the FBI's budget will go up.
Probably.
Yeah, he's just not interested in actually changing anything.
Well, it depends on what Jared Kushner tells him to do, and he'll do that, but
you might have people even dumber than Jared Kushner around him this time.
That's terrifying.
I think you might miss Jared Kushner.
Oh, boy. That's a scary thought.
It's just like, I don't know. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell who's actually in Trump's ear right now, you know? Sometimes he'll say, like, reasonable stuff, anti-regime type stuff that you and I would, that would appeal to guys like you and I. And then sometimes he doesn't at all. So it's just like, who knows, man? I don't know. I don't really think that's what it's about for him. It's just about being loved, being famous, quote unquote winning, whatever that means. You know. I mean, to me, winning would be accomplishing my mission, but it's just about getting elected, I think. We saw it, man. It's just so funny. And like, it's totally delusional for Republicans or Democrats to get super fired up one way or the other about a second Trump presidency, because we've seen it. Like, this is the first time since, like, what was it, 1892, right? Was the second Grover Cleveland election. This is the only time where we've had 4 years of data on our televisions on both candidates. We know exactly what Trump will do, and we know exactly what Biden will do because we watched him do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's just like the MAGA people, like, oh, Big Daddy, strong man Trump is going to own the libs and end the FBI and arrest so-and-so. And it's like, bro, he gave Anthony Fauci a medal on his last day in office. Like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? And then the same thing to the Democrats. Like, oh, no, he's going to arrest abortionists or whatever. No, he totally turned, you know, he's like a pro-choice now. Like, he's totally flipped, and now he's like pro-abortion, and like he's not going to do anything. You know, it's like, what? Both of you, everybody's crazy. I'm both, like, to be afraid of Trump or to be excited for Trump is nonsensical on both sides.
Yeah, in a weird way, I shouldn't say he was the most status quo candidate, because obviously Nikki Haley was running.
Right.
Well, no, she's not status quo anymore. She's like
2004 status quo,
20 years ago. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. She's like, you know, in a different universe. But he was, like, compared to, you know, DeSantis, he was the status quo candidate. I'm not really, like, bitter or upset about the way this election went. I kind of assumed this is what would happen.
Right.
And maybe it's for the better, like, you know, DeSantis can come back in an election cycle or two. But like, yeah, I think people just haven't processed that it's not 2016 anymore. And Trump has changed since then. He's moved farther, closer to the center. And you know, he is the status quo. So, like, it's not edgy to be doing this stuff anymore, especially when he's, like, you know, softening on abortion and entitlements. And, you know, he didn't even fix the border when he was in office, which was his main driver in 2016. Like,
deported less people every year than Obama did every year.
Yeah. I mean, his last 6 months were the good ones, and that was about it. He never figured it out until then. So,
oh yeah, you know, I mean, they used COVID to shut down the border.
Right.
But I mean, he also used COVID to shut down the economy. So that was a pretty bad deal. I don't know if that was the best trade-off.
Yeah, I mean, I've even said this like many times. His Remain in Mexico policy didn't even go far enough. It was like, okay, so they're still going to come in. They just have to wait in Mexico first. Like, he didn't solve much, and it's very evident because Joe Biden reversed everything he did when he took office. So I don't know. It's like, yeah, he's going to be better than Biden if he wins, and that's why I'm voting for him. But it's not going to be like sweeping, amazing change. I've given up that dream for this election cycle.
Yeah, and the press, I mean, they, you know, obviously guys like you and I don't decide elections. You know, it's white women in the suburbs, and it's the 4 or 5 percentage of just truly swing voters that, you know, the George Bush, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, Joe Biden voters. You know what I mean? And there are a lot of them in a lot of these swing states.
Yeah.
Makes no sense, but that's the world we're living in. And, like, you know, it's just the press is not going to be effective with the whole, like, Donald Trump's a fascist thing. Like, it's just, I just don't, I mean, if they're trying to bring Trump down, like, what swing voter in Michigan is going to believe that Trump meant he's going to bloodbath half of Congress if he wins? You know what I mean? Like, that person does not exist. Because, like, your swing voters aren't these deranged NPCs that watch Joe Scarborough. Like, those people are committed. Those people would, like, kill themselves to vote Democrat. If you're watching MSNBC's morning show, I mean, you are like, I mean, you would chop off your own dick to help Joe Biden win. I mean, like, these people
and
are committed.
Some have.
You know what I mean? Most have. I mean, it is like a bunch of sterile, you know, like, genderless, ridiculous caricatures of human beings who are watching Joe Scarborough every morning. Like, it's just, I just can't imagine that that's a very effective pitch to the people that actually decide elections in this country.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I mean, this bloodbath stuff, that's the interesting thing is, you know, independents, truly independents who, you know, the vast majority of them do put a lot of thought into who they're voting for. And they can see through this bullshit. I actually think it will backfire for Democrats, this kind of stuff. Because those people in the middle are just sick and tired of all of this. And I think a lot of us are. I'm not in the middle, but I'm sick of all of this drama and nonsense. But they, in particular, definitely are. So I think they'll see through things like this. And I just hope we, as Republicans, don't overcorrect and make ourselves look equally ridiculous.
I think that's already happened, my friend.
You're probably right. The last two election cycles, we've done that. So I guess we'll see. But
like, look at the I know it's just Twitter, but you know, idiots like us spend a lot of time on Twitter. Like, look at the quality of, like, right wing pundit right now.
Oh yeah.
Like, look at who, like, has become famous in the last 5-6 years. It's not like normal, interesting people. it's cat turd. You know what I mean? It's like.
Yeah.
These bizarre, like, hacky, like, childlike, you know, like, it's all very, like, childish. It's like a childlike worldview, you know what I mean? And it's not, you know, yeah. It only appeals to, like, a very tiny sliver of the right, not even to, like, the mainstream right, you know? And so that's who Republicans are, like, emulating and promoting and trying to appease, which is not great. That's not great. I you know, it's that's not going to win back the burbs, you know. It might you know, even if Trump, yeah, Trump is fortunate enough to be running against a dead man. I mean, this is like the, I mean, he was as bad as Biden was 4 years ago. He's 10 times worse now. There's another video that came out over the weekend. He had to be, he had no idea after a speech. He was wandering around, walking in circles, had no idea where to go. And it, you know, obviously he's just been a terrible president. There's wars everywhere. You know what I mean? The economy's terrible. So it's just like, I don't know. Like, Trump may win, Trump may lose, but like in the in the Trump era, like Republicans have lost like something like 12 governorships, like 10 state legislatures, both houses of Congress. You know, I mean, it's just really gotten gutted. And yeah, I don't know. I got it. We'll see. You know, maybe Biden is like, I'm hopeful that Biden is just so deeply unpopular that Republicans just kind of win by default.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, I don't know. I don't really think, you know, in a lot of these Senate and House races and governor races, I don't think Republicans are going to nominate and run like the most appealing candidates, you know, outside of like Twitter, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I don't see it ending well. I don't know. We're in some for some tough sledding here in the next couple election cycles, I think, regardless of who's in the White House.
Oh, no. I mean, I totally agree. And on the point of the decline of right-wing pundits, like, it's sad because we used to have the good pundits who could actually change hearts and minds about these things. And now it's like they're either like, you know, Charlie Sykes and Bill Kristol, who are insane, like the never Trumpers who like never moved on for a decade. Or it's like the Laura Loomers of the world. And I wish there was more, you know, a couple of my favorites that are still like sane and I listen to, you know, all the time are like, you know, the Chris Rufos and the Megyn Kellys of the world. But there's just so few of those left. So it's a sad state of affairs. And the most popular and loudest ones are usually the worst ones now. We used to be the ones with the reasonable ones, and the left always had insane ones, but now it's like the same on both sides.
All you have to do to be a popular right-wing pundit is to end every tweet with, like, just asking questions, or are you
yes.
paying attention yet? You know what I mean?
Right.
And it'll be just like, just say, like, three random things. You know, like, just three unrelated. They're like, okay, there was a house fire in Connecticut, there's a war in Ukraine, and I just saw a bird take a shit. Are you paying attention yet? I'm just asking questions. It's like, guys, what are we doing? Like, what are you people doing? My goodness. Calm down, man. Goodness. I don't know. It's like, I don't know if these people are actually just the dumbest people on the face of the earth, or if they just have this deep disdain for their own audiences. They just get off on, like, insulting the intelligence of their audience. I don't know. Like, it is weird. It's not good. It's not helping us win hearts and minds. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, it's funny. This came full circle for me not too long ago, and I don't even remember the tweet that it was in reference to, but it was a situation where Alex Jones was the voice of reason in a thread, and I was like, what is happening here? How have we reached a point where Alex Jones is the voice of truth and reason, and the like right-wing pundit class generally is the insane one?
Yeah, man,
it doesn't make any sense.
It's so weird. If Trump wanted to win easily, like, he would literally gain like 8 points in the polls overnight if he just publicly denounced Laura Loomer and Roger Stone and those guys.
Yeah,
just like made fun of them. Crazy Laura, you know, just like totally broke bad on Laura Loomer and just like made fun of her publicly. I mean, like, just call the election over now.
And he basically broke her off for a while. I mean, he was just not entertaining ever being seen with her. And then all of a sudden, a couple weeks ago, I see a video of them together and talking about how Laura's great and she's a patriot. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? You were doing so good.
He's a big baby, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say.
I mean, I have a one-year-old daughter, and like, trying to guide Trump into like doing smart things is probably like me trying to like talk sense into a one-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I have like a front row seat into like what it's like to run Trump's campaign. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like, it's tough, man. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't either.
I know. I wish we could just fast forward to November now and vote, because Trump would win, you know.
Right.
Just don't give him a chance to blow it. Goodness. I mean, the Democrats are helping us in any way they can. They're defending cannibalism. So that's...
Yes.
I don't really have anything to add there, but Democrats and journalists are defending cannibalism. I guess we can cross that off the bingo card. Man, cannibalism.
Yeah. Right? When Eric Adams called New York the Port-au-Prince of the United States, what did he mean by that? Was it the cannibalism or the, like, what? Elaborate.
I mean, dude, remember when the journalists all, remember when Trump called Haiti a shithole country and they all, like, printed shirts that said, like, Haiti's great or whatever?
Yes.
I've never been to Haiti, but I've been to the Dominican Republic and flown low over Haiti. And look, the Dominican Republic's nothing to write home about. And Haiti,
no, it's not.
Looks like Baghdad, circa 2004.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a failed state. I mean, it's a third world country. It's a failed state. Debilitating poverty. I don't know, man. I mean, these people are just so all in on Americans suck and the rest of the world's great that they will literally defend cannibalistic Haitian gangs because that's how much they hate the American people. It really is something, man.
Yeah. I had a conference in the capital of the Dominican Republic, Santo Domingo. Again, I agree. Nothing to write home about. I did not feel safe in certain parts of that city. Yes. But I will say, on the flight home, you can tell exactly where Haiti starts.
Oh, yeah.
It's like very clear from the sky.
It's sad. I mean, it's like you look at it, you're like, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's... Yeah, but those shirts, it's just another example of how the left is just, you know, completely deranged. I mean, he could say, you know, not smoking crack is bad, or smoking crack is bad, and they'd be like, crack is great. What are you talking about?
Yeah, they're just all in on America sucks, you know. They just think America sucks, Americans suck. I mean, that's why, you know, you'll have some, like, Palestinian immigrant talking about how he wants to kill everybody. And like, oh, see? He's great. Better than... At least he's not an American. For goodness sakes, we love this guy. He's brown. He wants to kill Jews. It's like, yeah, you know, it's fine. And yeah, they just hate America, man. They just cannibalism.
Mm-hmm.
They defended cannibalism. They actually did it. The establishment said it never could be done, Nick. But they did.
They said it couldn't.
They defended cannibalism. One more thing before I let you go, man. I know this is last week's news cycle, and everybody probably already forgot about it. But I by the way, I apologize for not having any shows last week. I lost my voice, physically could not speak all of last week. That was pretty awesome. But we gotta circle back to this Ben Shapiro stuff, because I mean, think whatever you think about Ben Shapiro. You can love him, you can hate him. He's fine. He's a normal, middle of the road conservative, which means I agree with him on some stuff, disagree on some stuff, but. Ben correctly said that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme that's going to be bankrupt very soon, and both the left and the right attacked him. So we can leave the left out. Forget them. They're economically illiterate, whatever. They're fully bought into the John Maynard Keynes notion that you can print money forever and nothing bad will happen, even though bad things keep happening as a result of printing money. But they love Keynes, everybody's favorite gay pedophile. I always like to remind people on this podcast when I bring up Keynes, he loved raping teenage boys. So, classic lefty right there. But the right, and this is, it's kind of been happening and getting worse and worse since Trump won, you know, because he's been attacking anybody who says they want to cut spending or whatever. But the right is just having a great time pretending that reality doesn't exist right now. And that is, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I don't get how these people, but look, some of them, like we just got done talking about, there's a lot of pundits on the right who are just idiots, you know, they're just punditry for the lowest common denominator on Twitter, and they don't really know anything about anything, but most of these guys actually do know what they're talking about, and they're just pretending that they don't, they're pretending that they don't understand what Social Security is, they are pretending to not understand economics, and I don't know, man, like, where... If you're Tucker Carlson, if you're these right wing guys who've spent the last year pretending not to understand economics, how do these people, like, I get it. I get it that being an economic moron will help you win elections in America because people don't want to be told that shit sucks. People don't want to be told that the sky is blue. They want to be told that you can keep printing money and giving them free shit and nothing bad's going to happen. I understand that, but we're almost out of time. Like, yeah. Like, we are running out of time. Like, this is not some theoretical thing that may or may not happen in 30 years. Like, we are running out of time. A couple more election cycles here, and it's all over, and the world fundamentally changes for the worse. Okay? Like, we can't afford... Like, these Republicans pretending that they don't understand economics is going to get a lot of people killed here very soon.
Yes. I totally... And I just weird sentiment on, like, you know, the right cropping up of like, oh, well, you know, entitlements are actually good. Like, you know, Medicare or Social Security. And just a complete cognitive dissonance of like, they're not sustainable at all, especially as our population rapidly gets older and there's not enough workers to sustain these programs. I was seeing, on a podcast we produce here at Beck and Stone called Econception. And they were talking about like, there are basically no amount of taxes that will be able to cover the expenses that we have.
No.
For Medicare and Social Security in particular. Like, there's just no way we can pay for those, especially once we approach about 2030. But, you know, like, it's a situation where Trump is now defending them, and the pundits who are aligned with him are like, oh, yeah, you're right, Social Security is good. And, you know, they've even attacked candidates they don't like on the right for wanting to either raise the retirement age or, you know, it's reached a point where we can't even talk about partially privatizing it or anything. It's like just a matter of, oh, is it good or not? And it's like we've moved in the wrong direction on that. It's very scary because this is a serious problem. I mean, you and me will probably never see Social Security.
Absolutely.
I have
not
to plan for my own retirement. Yes. God forbid.
right.
Like, oh no, I have to make sure I have enough money to retire. But Ben Shapiro is totally right. It's a Ponzi scheme. I've mentioned many times on Twitter and elsewhere. I've just always seen it as a scheme, and I wish that more Republicans still believe that. And I don't know if it's like a throwing the baby out with the bathwater thing where neocons said that for a long time, and now MAGA Republicans are like, well, whatever neocons believed, we can't. Or if it's just simply Trump likes Social Security, so now we have to.
Yeah, I think they just blame like conservatism or something for like George Bush and John McCain and Mitt Romney and these guys, when those guys were never like, they were never right wing. They were never conservative or anything. They were like center left Democrats, essentially. I mean, if you look at policy, you know, Ben, you know, he went on some rant about how like retiring's bad and you shouldn't even retire or anything. And then everybody, and then so people are debating that instead of the actual like heart of the issue. And it's like, no children. Like, you're like, what do you, it doesn't matter. I don't care if you want to retire or not. Like, it's over. Like, you can't, reality exists, people. Like, I get hammered on Twitter for this, and people yell at me when I talk about this on the podcast, but you will be forced to care. You'll be forced to care about economics, people, a lot sooner than later. The trust that supports Medicare Part A, which is the vast majority of people on Medicare, will be insolvent in 2028, 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's just the first domino. Social Security is toast by 2034. That's 10 years.
Yep.
I'm not talking about, like, yeah, I'm an anarchist, you know, big, bad, Brady, radical. Yes, I am, all those things. But if you love Social Security, why don't you want to save it? Like, don't you want it to continue to exist? Because it's not going to. In 10 years, it's going to trigger a massive reduction in benefits across the board, and that's going to kill a whole lot of people who are on fixed incomes without massive reforms. I mean, we're talking about massive reductions in spending, changing the retirement age, all of it. Like, all of that is necessary. You're going to have to cut government spending in half. I mean, the interest, what we're paying annually on the interest payments on the debt, as of November of last year, officially eclipsed the entire defense budget.
Yes.
And entitlements are three times that much. I'm like, you know, I'm as against foreign aid as it is possible to be. That is nothing. I mean, you could eliminate all foreign aid and it won't help us at all. I mean, there's a drop in the bucket compared to the interest payments on the debt, compared to the entitlements. I mean, all of our money is going to those two things. Medicare Part A is over in 2028. Social Security, toast by 2034. And whether you like it or not, like this, the whole debate about Ben Shapiro, it's a meaningless, worthless debate. Ben's right, objectively. It doesn't matter. Like you can call him names, make fun of his yarmulke, you can say whatever you want, but he is objectively correct. Like, MAGA can scream like children if they want, but screaming like children, just ask my daughter, screaming like a child does not make reality change, okay? Bro, I wish. Yes. I wish a lot of things in this world were different than they are, but wishing does not make it so. And the right pretending, and the people that bother me, it's not the cat turds, it's not the Jack Posobiec, or whatever the heck that guy's name is, it's not the people that don't know anything, don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. It's not those people. I'm talking about the people that are intelligent human beings and know better and are pretending not to. Like when Tucker Carlson went to Russia and pretended not to understand exchange rates. You know what I mean? You're like, bro, dude, like pretending not to understand exchange rates for clout. Yeah. Like that was pretty gross. You know, it's like those types of people are going to get people killed, man. 40,000 people die every time the unemployment rate goes up by 1%, mostly via suicide. Economics is a matter of life and death. This isn't just the nerd shit. This isn't just the Paul Ryan shit and people that like reading Ayn Rand. I'm like this is real life. These are real human souls you're talking about. And you will be forced to care sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. And yeah, I saw that Ben Shapiro tweet. And yeah, I do disagree with him that like retirement as a concept is stupid, but it's on the predicate that you can afford to retire because you were responsible enough with your money to be able to do that. Like if you did that and you did all the right things, good for you, you should retire. But even people who never get to retire are living better than anyone almost in human history. Like at least you're not a serf in medieval England who worked 12 hours a day in the fields and then died at 30. Like you're living to 75 or 80 and you're working 8 hours a day, maybe less. Like you're still living better than anyone in history. And yeah, you're entitled to your retirement if you planned it right, but you're not entitled to your retirement just because, like, you can't rely on Social Security to retire. And I think that's the main point that boomers obviously haven't accepted and never will. They're feeling and totally, totally entitled to their retirement, even if it sacrifices generations of wealth in the process. And yes, I also agree that, like, we're not living in reality. Like, these programs are going to be insolvent. And then our taxes are going to go way up to even try to save them. And we could eliminate literally all discretionary spending except for entitlements, and it would be a drop in the bucket. Like, it wouldn't do anything. And that's why it's like, I'm always annoyed when Republicans are fighting over, like, oh, like, what should the food stamp rate be? And it's like, this means nothing when we look at where all of our money's actually going, which is to interest on our debt and entitlements that are much bigger programs than food stamps, like Medicare and Social Security. Those are going to be the things that kill us.
Yeah. And it's going to be worse than that. it's going to be worse.
For sure.
It's going to be way worse than just, I mean, you're absolutely right that our taxes will go through the roof. It'll you know, you're going to get into some of that Scandinavian tax rates where we're all paying half of our money, even the middle class, to the state. But it's going to be even worse than that because the amount of money the party in power is going to have to print. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not.
We can become Argentina.
Yeah. 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 It's going to change the country. It's going to be really bad. I mean, it's going
to
be.
People think that since we're American, we'll never have to face those realities, but that's not true. I mean, there are a lot of South American countries that never thought they'd have the problems they have now, like Venezuela and Argentina. And now they're facing realities of the decisions they've made over this last like 50 years. And they're like, oh my God, what did we do? Yeah. And yeah, it'll take longer for us to get there, but it'll get there eventually.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, the inflationary printing and spending, honestly, because here's the deal, especially if there's a split government, you know, they're not going to be able to, I mean, let's fast forward 4 years, right? I mean, this isn't some hypothetical when we're gray-haired old men. I mean, this is 4 years from now, Medicare Part A is going belly up, and the party in power probably won't even be able to get through massive tax hikes through Congress, right? So they're going to have to just fire up the printers at the Federal Reserve just to avoid being totally thrown out. I mean, because if they don't, then the opposition party will just sweep everything. You know what I mean? So to try to maintain their power, the party in power in 4 years will just start printing an ungodly amount of money, attempt to raise taxes. I mean, inflation's going to go through the roof. Unemployment's going to spike. People lose jobs. People lose homes. Interest rates are through the roof. You can't get a loan. Your money's worth less than ever. People start dying, deaths of despair, and the country looks nothing like what it does now. We're talking about all this in the next 5 years, man. Like, this is a legitimate possibility that it gets that bad that fast. Keep yelling at Ben Shapiro, though, you know? Yeah, you know, keep yelling at the nerd who understands how money works. Okay.
This is an opportune moment to bring up one of my least favorite amendments, actually. The 17th Amendment, which makes the Senate elected by popular vote.
Oh, yeah.
That amendment, if it had not ever happened, could have prevented a lot of this. Because when the bicameral legislature is both elected by popular vote, these are the things that happen. I just wish there was some insulation there still, but there's not, and here we are.
I'm bound by law to remind people that you could have had Ron Paul twice and avoided all this, but you didn't. You went with the old Romney, John McCain. And here we are. Here we are. You know, I'm not going to stop talking about this because I do think it's deeply immoral. If you are a pundit, I have a tiny little insignificant audience. No offense to you guys. I'm not calling you insignificant, just the size of you. But love every single one of you guys. But like, even with my minuscule audience, like, it would be immoral, I believe, to like just go along with the orthodoxy of the day and just pretend that economics doesn't exist. And just pretend that I don't understand how this shit works. Like, I think it's actually evil. Like, I think it's immoral for guys like Tucker Carlson to do that. And I'm only picking on Tucker Carlson because I respect him. I know he's not an idiot. Like, if he was a moron who didn't understand economics, that would be one thing. And then I'd be like, I would ignore it. You know what I mean? But he doesn't. He used to say the exact opposite. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think it's immoral that, oh, he, Ben Shapiro's gay. Let me just go to Russia and pretend not to understand exchange rates. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, man, like, that's like, people listen to you and you're giving people a false sense of security surrounding their own future, their own retirement, their parents' retirement. Like, you're selling people a lie, and you know it's a lie. You know it. That's evil. That's wrong. That is immoral, man. And it's going to hurt a lot of people, man. Because we are driving headfirst into a truck right now. People are going to wake up. People are going to be forced to understand how economics works. Man, it's just disappointing. It's disappointing seeing the people that know better.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, and I agree on Tucker. He's actually a very smart guy. He would not be where he is if he wasn't. But yeah, the Russia stuff was weird. Like, him not pretending not to know what an Aldi shopping cart is and things like that. Or maybe he actually doesn't. I mean, he's been wealthy his whole life. There's a very good chance he's never been to Aldi, but those Russian shopping carts were just Aldi shopping carts.
Like, guys, check this out. It's crazy. I had no idea. If you're an extraordinarily wealthy American and you go to a country with way less wealth, shit will seem really cheap. You're telling me this now for the first time. I had no idea. Goodness. Golly, it's the same thing that the left-wing journalists do, man. And that's why I always say I could never be a journalist because I don't like embarrassing myself in public. That's why I practice guitar and practice singing and writing all the time. That's why I practice so hard my whole life because I don't want to go on stage and look like an idiot. You know what I mean? And to be a journalist, and it's all the left-wing journalists do this. You know, they go on TV. It's their job to put on their clown nose, go honk, 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 go on TV and pretend like they don't understand that Donald Trump's joking. You know what I mean? They're like, he said bloodbath. He's going to kill Maggie Haberman. That's what's going to happen. It's like, but like the whole Tucker Carlson thing is the exact same phenomenon, but on the right. Puts his clown nose on, goes honk, 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 and pretends not to understand money. It's like, gosh, I just can't imagine putting on a clown nose every morning. You know what I mean? It just couldn't be me, Nick.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine willingly embarrassing myself for clout. I hate being embarrassed, you know? Maybe if I was black, it would be easier because my face wouldn't turn red, you know? But damn, you know, I just can't. I hate embarrassing myself in public, so I just couldn't do it, man. Can't be me.
Couldn't be me either. Scary times.
Yeah. Real quick, before I let you go, I decided I wasn't going to form an opinion on the TikTok ban bill, and I haven't. So give the people back home good or bad. Give us the old Lindquist breakdown. Like it, don't like it.
Well,
I don't care one way or the other. I was like, you know what? I'm not coming up with an opinion on that one. Not going to do it. I was sitting there last week and unable to talk, just raspy. My daughter's all confused, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't care one way or the other. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, I actually agree with you, and this is going to be very unpopular to several people in my circles.
Love it.
Here's the thing about TikTok. Yeah, the Chinese government is taking that data and using it against us. But what people, I don't know if they don't know or they just don't care, but they do that with so much of your data. And you might not even know it's happening, but it's happening with even like, you know, companies like Meta and Google and so many other data giants have admitted that the Chinese government has infiltrated their data and are probably still doing it. I mean, those are only instances where Meta and Google have discovered it and figured it out. But, you know, TikTok data is a drop in the bucket of what China is gathering on you. And this feels like a distraction to me. I like, okay, if it's banned, it's banned. I don't really care. But like, I just hope that people understand this is not, if it's banned, this is not the end of the problem. It is a very serious problem that's not going away with TikTok.
That's pretty safe to say.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know, like I've talked to friends on both sides of this debate and they both make very interesting cases. I hope both sides have fun. I hope both teams have fun.
Yeah.
I do get nervous anytime that many congressmen agree on something though, I'll tell you. I mean, it's the Patriot Act, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of the only pieces of legislation that get 85% support in Congress. So you know, that does make me a little nervous. The old spidey sense goes off when I see that. Bipartisanship. Is there anything more evil than bipartisanship? But yeah, I don't know. I hope both teams have
fun. It's a situation where it's like, oh, this is widely popular and we could use it to our advantage. So why not just support it? And that's for both sides right now.
Yeah. I've just never had an opinion that
and
was
then
popular.
They'll use it. Yeah. And then they'll use it to do other stuff. Like, I'm worried about what this opens up in the future. Like, okay, TikTok is first. What's next? Is it X?
Well, I mean, that's obviously their goal is to shut down X.
The election? Yeah, exactly. Then they'll go on the election interference stuff and everything we love will go down.
Yeah. Well, Ladies and gentlemen, I promise you I will not be talking about the TikTok bill ever again. So, like I said, I'm not coming up with an opinion. I'm not writing about it, not talking about it. I'll let my colleagues handle that. But thanks for the breakdown. That makes sense to me. Somebody who is not informed on the matter. Yeah, I'll just defer to you, man. Everybody go follow Nick on Twitter, and you should just follow his opinion on the TikTok ban. There you go. That's my advice. Nick, my brother, where can everybody follow you? Keep in touch, all that good stuff.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. That's my main outlet, at Nick_Lindquist. And then, check out my writings and podcast appearances like this at NickLindquist.com.
Everybody follow Nick. He's great. That's all I got for today. I'm Brady Leonard. I'll be back on Wednesday. No gimmicks.